Do you love to love? Do you find that you compare yourself to others, and when you struggle to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak, you end up feeling down, out, and judge yourself for not living up to what you think is your greatest potential? Yeah, this podcast is for you. I'm Carmen Berlin, and I'm a neurosemantics coach, yoga, and meditation teacher. And I'm also human, with all the challenges that come with that. This is my big leap from serial monogamist to feeling fulfilled as a single person. Consider this a guide to stepping into the shoes that you were meant to fill, so that when you meet someone, they're not a life raft, they're an added bonus. Welcome to the single best. I'm excited to be in your ear. Hi. Long time no here. Well, what can I say? Last week, I wrote a 21-minute episode. I recorded it, but I didn't put it on air. Why? Because as much as it was brutally honest and what you can call straight from the heart, it was also bloody depressing. Right? I know, let's be real. Let's shoot from the hip. Okay, yes, I'm all for that. But I also want to inspire. This podcast is called The Single Best, after all. Not The Single Best, Worst, and everything in between. But as a caveat, I have a condition. My condition is humanity. And therefore, I'll be my best, my worst, and everything in between. It's only human. So what you see on Instagram is what I choose to share. It's light, it's fluffy, and it's full of moments I can be proud of. And yeah, a little part of me that seeks validation from the external world wants those hearts and smiley faces when I post something cute. Well done, Carm. Amazing. I knew you would. Wow, you're so great. And then I thrive off that for a bit. And then I might go home and cry a little. It's not a joke. I actually cry quite a bit. Why? Because I feel scared. I feel scared to not live up to my fullest potential. I feel scared to be unloved. Scared to get older. Scared to be childless, scared to lose, whether that be my mind, my health, my wealth, my job, my friends, members of the family. It's scary sometimes to be alive. But you know what's scarier? To ignore the things that call you, to ignore that niggling feeling that you meant to serve a greater purpose. To shut your eyes, put your head down, work like a sheep whilst your soul is crying out for something different. I'm by no means saying that everyone has a drive to do something extraordinary, and I think that is a bit of a thing at the moment, that people think that they need to be extraordinary all the time, because we're flooded with these social media lives where it looks like people are living exceptionally. But again, it's just a facade. And I will share a quote here by Bex King to illustrate exactly that, that everyone doesn't have that same lust for something exceptional. So here it goes. Not everyone has big dreams of a luxurious future, adventurous getaways, designer clothes, or expensive dinners. Some just want to feel safe in their bodies, cozy in their homes, with someone to love. Don't let anyone convince you of the size of your dream. As long as it excites and awakens you, follow it through and through.
Boy, is that a good quote.
Hits me right in the feels, especially that last part. As long as it excites and awakens you, follow it through and through. So if accounting excites and awakens you, fuck, you're on the right path as an accountant. Congratulations, I'm seriously envious. You're living your calling. That is sensational. Listen, what I mean is that some of us have a feeling that we haven't quite found our way yet. It's a bit like a rock in the shoe. You can't think of much else when you feel that sharp sensation. And this notion can be quite engulfing and consuming and uncomfortable. So let me shoot straight. I've always had a love interest, like forever, since I was five. I mean, at five, it was like MacGyver and my dad. And as soon as my two-year-old brother started school, he was his best friend. But like always someone in my eyeline. And this has been really convenient for me because it's distracted me from what I assume is my soul's calling. So let me tell you the truth. Every fucking time I've been unsuccessful in a relationship and then had to spend some time on my own figuring things out, very, very quickly have I found myself a new boo to distract myself. And although it may feel at the time like it's some celestial encounter and, oh my God, I've never felt like this before, it's just another addiction. It's a diversion from my path, from the work that I'm meant to be doing on myself, for myself to feel content within me first, to feel whole. So now that I'm not numbing myself with dating apps or nights out on the town trying to hone in on another target, I'm faced with a few obstacles and things that I need to look at introspectively. I've got feelings bubbling up that I have to not push down anymore that I've so conveniently pushed down before. One of my dear friends, Glenn, we used to go out. We went out for 5 years and he's probably the maybe I'll regret saying this, but he's probably the most emotionally mature boyfriend partner I've had. I just couldn't see it at the time because he annoyed the shit out of me. And I think that is because he was always there. He was always there for me. Whatever I needed, he was there. And that was weird because I'm not used to it, I guess. Anyway, darling friend Glenn, so glad we're still mates. And he says this very humorously. Carm, there is not a dick-shaped hole in your heart that you need to fill. And I couldn't have said it better myself. So what I'm getting at here is that if you can relate to any of this, then maybe, just maybe, this episode is for you. Comparison is the thief of joy. I'm a yoga teacher since 2013, and this used to be my mantra when I taught classes. Preferably, I would have my students close their eyes in class because naturally we're curious beings and we love to look around and see what Beth is doing or, oh, Gwendoline has got a nice style. Are those Lululemons? I wonder how much they cost. Is my yoga mat nice enough? God, I seem to be sweating. Wish I could do a handstand. Yoga is an introspective practice. It's not about anyone else but you. That's quite liberating, right? If you think you can't touch your toes, guess what? You can't touch your toes today. Maybe not tomorrow either. But lo and behold, with a daily hamstring stretch for 2 weeks, hey, you can touch your toes. And then 2 days after, maybe you can't. That's yoga. It's ever changing. It's like life, the only certainty in life. Ever changing. But it's yours. And Beth and Gwendolyn or anyone else, they have their own practice. Nothing to do with yours. And such is life. Exactly the same. Not only should we not compare ourselves to anyone else, we also shouldn't take anyone else's advice, especially if they're not living a life that looks like the life that we want to live. Fair enough if you take guidance from a mentor who's living in a way that you aspire to. But if you seek advice from a parent, a friend, or anyone else who tells you what they think is best for you according to their own life and their systems and their blueprint, so to speak, ignore. We can only advise based on our own experience and our own openness. When I took my coaching course, Jay, who ran it, said that if you're giving advice to someone as a coach, you're doing way too much work. I'll never forget it. Ultimately, everyone's answers are within themselves, and we all have to do, all we have to do as coaches is to facilitate the finding of these answers by asking the right questions. That's it. It sounds really, really basic and simple, but that's it. Same as a good friend. They may listen, be quiet, like storm or whatever you tend to do, be free to express yourself. And then they ask you, simply, what do you think that you should do? That is such a good question for a friend to ask. What do you think that you should do? Because we're all grown-ups. We all have our own decisions to make, our own answers within. And let's face it, whoever we admire in life, none of us know what we're doing. We're all the same. We're all here playing adults. Many of us are running patterns that we formed before the age of 7. And these patterns are governing the way that we handle conflict today as adults. How insane is that to think about? So when you freak out or have a little moment of panic, ask yourself, who is in the driver's seat right now? Is it me, the adult me, or is it the 6-year-old me that felt like life was unfair when she or he didn't get the bicycle that time and Owen got his and he was all cool at school? Recognize these triggers that come up and where they stem from. Trust me, you'll thank yourself. It can be alarming to think that we're all a bunch of kids in adult bodies navigating this earth, popping our kids, desperately trying to keep them alive and not fuck them up too much with our own unaddressed behaviors. But it can also be quite comforting, not to mention amusing. But seek comfort in the fact that nobody knows what they're doing. We're all lost at times. CEOs, CFOs, big corporate giant leaders and pilots, brain surgeons, neuroscientists, some of the most brilliant in the world, have moments of doubt, fear, despair. It's all part of being human. It doesn't come with an instruction manual. We get what we're given. Some of us have parents who have a little bit more, I don't know, they're a little bit more woke, let's say, than others. Some of us are on our own to figure things out. And some just don't have the need to explore. I mean, we're in a constant evolution all the time. It's part of being human. But like I said earlier, some are perfectly content with working 9 to 5, paying off their bills, having dinner in their cozy homes, and never questioning the structure of things. And that's okay. Don't want this to sound wrong, like people who live a 9 to 5 and just are happy with things, have a small brain. I'm not saying that at all.
But I just think that maybe a certain curiosity and as an overactive brain can sometimes feel like a curse. But, you know, it depends how you look at it. And that's okay. And people who are perfectly content with, what can I call it? I don't want to say a mediocre life, because that may sound like it's diminishing the life that some people lead and want to lead. But it's not an average life either. Help me, what's the word? Well, a simple life. That's okay. It's not even ignorance. Ignorance is bliss and all of that. No, people like this might be well aware of the state of the world, and it doesn't affect them emotionally. It just doesn't. It doesn't move them intrinsically to change anything about their lives. And again, that's fine. We need these people. I can't watch the news. I see one malnourished horse on an Instagram feed, and the vision of it's just lasered on my retina for the next 24 hours. I'm that classic case of someone who has their inbox full of emails from Greenpeace and PETA. So I worked as a spa therapist for 8 years, and as much as I loved it and I really felt like I was in my element at the time and I felt really, really proud of my work, I burnt out in the end and I didn't touch a body for over 2 years. I just couldn't. I gave everything. I was those massage therapists who would never go for a massage myself. I didn't practice what I preached. And this is such a classic among empaths and caregivers. We have to learn to receive as well as the giving that we do. There has to be a balance. But the world needs all kinds of people, a variety, like licorice all sorts. Oftentimes we admire those who we feel to have something that we lack. I'm a peacekeeper, right? So I'm often drawn to those who are assertive, decisive, and quite blunt and direct in their approach. And these are some traits that I suppress in myself. I don't lack them. And at times they might make an appearance, just boom, out of the blue, but I lean the other way more often. So we seek traits that will make us feel whole. But the secret is, we're already whole. And although we may admire someone for all these traits, we shouldn't strive to become them or live life exactly their way. And we're not losers if we can't live according to somebody else's blueprint of success. That's their recipe. It works for them with the constitution that they have. So figure out what works for you with your body, your mind, your emotional government. Personally, I'm ready to take over the world 2 weeks of the month. And I might start 2 new businesses fueled with this intense fire that sees anything as possible. And a week later, both businesses have been liquidated if they're as much as saw the light of day. Sayonara, see you under the covers, I'm done. And the more I fight against this, thinking that there's something inherently wrong with me because I can't go at one steady pace every day of the whole month, the more exhausted I will be from this inner combat going on. Acceptance is key. Self-love. And trust me, this is so much easier when we're single, because there is nobody there that we can judge ourselves in the face of if we decide to take an afternoon in bed watching Netflix and inhaling donuts. Set your own pace. Be kind. Get to know your patterns. What works? What needs tweaking? Who do you want to be? Take stock. This is important work. If you feel drawn to it and it awakens a curiosity in you, explore it. That's all I ask. Do it. Do it for you. So I'm going to end this episode by saying that I have spent over 20 years wanting to be harder, tougher, stronger, and quote unquote, less sensitive. But I think I dare say that I'm ready to accept who I am and hopefully blaze the trail for others who struggle with similar feelings of comparison and sometimes even inadequacy. You are, and we are, perfectly imperfect, just like everyone else. Until next time, lots and lots, and I mean loads, of self-love.